Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Monday, the 21st of August, 2023. I'm Andy Eubank, and a Hat podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller in with the news today, including the importance of Indiana's agribusinesses and how to keep them viable, and how farmers can learn more about their own seed products. The heat wave is here, and we have an update from Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin and Strong Ag Markets Friday, Brian Basting, with analysis on the Hat Morning Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Helping to keep your agribusiness viable. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the 2023 Farm Progress Show, August 29th through the 31st in Decatur, Illinois. Visit farmprogressshow.com for more info. The Agribusiness Council of Indiana held their annual conference and expo last week in Noblesville. The conference featured a number of highly respected speakers that focused on topics like fertilizer prices, the weather, and how to best communicate with the public about ag topics like GMOs. President and CEO Bruce Kettler has been on the job with ACI since January. He told the crowd there that he believes ACI is a new organization that can adapt with the times.
In many respects, I think it is a new organization. There were legacy associations in the grain and feed world, crop protection, fertilizer in the past, have merged into ACI even a number of years ago. But when you think about what is happening with businesses, and things are always changing, agriculture is always changing, always moving forward.
A new organization that focuses on policy for agribusinesses, leadership development, and seeking new opportunities for Indiana's ag business community. The Agribusiness Council of Indiana is always looking for new members. If you own an agribusiness, Kettler says they can help. He knows you wear many hats as the owner or operator.
You've got employees to think about, customers, all the things that come at you. ACI is able to look at things like policy and how it will affect that business. What are the new opportunities coming your way? And we can really help a business to make sure that they're focused on their business, but at the same time, not missing opportunities to influence policy, grow new leaders, and make sure that they're doing what they need to do in their communities to continue to be viable.
If you're interested in learning more, find this story at HoosierAgToday.com for contact info.
Diesel engines can lose power and fuel efficiency as dirt, grime, and carbon deposits collect over time. Say hello to the future. Lasting power and performance are here. Premium Diesel X4 now includes ProFlow, a unique and powerful combination of fuel detergents that remove and prevent new carbon deposits from forming. Get more per gallon with the diesel fuel of the future. Get Premium Diesel X4 with ProFlow from Countrymark.
When it comes to your corn seed purchase for next growing season, you might want to consider AgriGold, based right here in Indiana. CJ Miller has more.
AgriGold has a unique setup called their Field GX system, which is six different genetic families of corn hybrids. Kirsten Garriott, the national agronomy lead with AgriGold, describes their Field GX system.
What it does is it allows farmers to get to know their products better and manage them more effectively, because Field GX groups our hybrids based on their performance under different types of management and different environmental conditions. So growers who are familiar with a certain hybrid, say from Field GX Family A, other Family A's, they will also be familiar with how to manage those products and what to expect out of performance because they have some familiarity with those products already.
She adds that their Field GX system of hybrids sets them apart from other companies and their corn hybrids.
We're a seed-focused, seed-only type of company, so we're really passionate about getting deep down into the nuance of some of these products and making sure that we fine-tune our approach by using the Field GX language. We can fine-tune our approach on the farm to really manage each hybrid to its peak performance in that environment and under those conditions that it wants to be managed on. So we believe it's a way that we truly do get more bang for the buck as far as what farmers are already buying with their seed decision.
Read more about AgriGold's Field GX system at AgriGold.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than just lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit e-farmcredit.com to learn more about how we invest in the future of rural America and agriculture. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Sunny, hot, and dry over the Hoosier State. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. This week is very hot, very humid, but the humidity does not lead to precipitation in most areas. Now, Michigan is going to be very active this week with thunderstorms firing off along the boundary of the heat dome for the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday time frame. But farther south, it just does not look to me like we have a significant threat of moisture through most of the week. That being said, going into Thursday, I won't rule out some pop-up thunderstorms in northwest Ohio, maybe some of those back into far east and northeastern tier counties of Indiana. And then on Friday, I won't rule out some heat-based thunderstorms in central Indiana. But coverage is very, very minor. The other thing that we have to talk about with the temperatures pushing into the lower to middle 90s, heat indices are going to be easily triple digits all week long. I think we're looking at heat indices between 100 and 105, 106 pretty much all week long. This is not going to be the best setup for outdoor work, right? Now, as we get into the weekend, we see a slight easing of temperatures back down into the upper 80s and low 90s, but I do not see a lot of moisture coming with it, at least right away for Saturday or Sunday. I do think Sunday night into Monday, we'll watch a cluster of thunderstorms come out of the Missouri Valley across Illinois, likely hitting central and southern Indiana for that late Monday time frame. Next Tuesday is dry, but I think we have another chance at shower and thunderstorm action early next Wednesday. The other wild card to watch here, mid to late week next week, a tropical system will be coming up the Florida Peninsula. Where the remains of that want to go could drive what kind of moisture we see as well. But at this stage of the ball game, I'm sitting here and telling you we are below normal on precipitation the last half of this month. I feel that we're going to be mostly below normal on precipitation in September, and we see plenty of warm air out there. Now, middle of next week, cool air is trying to push southward across the upper Midwest. Maybe it comes in and takes control Wednesday afternoon, Thursday. But before we get there, we've got a lot of heat to work through. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Everything up to close out the week. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank, and I'll have the settlements in just a moment. First, analysis about what happened for the strong close to the week. And I picked that up from Brian Basting, Advanced Trading, during the trading day. Brian, as we speak, Friday midday, a nice bounce in the markets as we get ready to close out the week, led by soybean futures and a little bit of an oddity. Wheat futures are strong as well. We'll probably have a Black Sea discussion when we talk about that. Corn seems to be maybe just going along for the ride, but the hot, dry forecasts certainly are coming into play in the market.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Andy, as we proceed with the last half of August here. The crops, especially soybeans, are still sensitive to the weather, as your listeners know. We do have a serious heat wave developing throughout the next week, the week of August 21st. They're saying in the western belt, moving over to the central belt, and eventually into the eastern belt, mid to upper 90s with heat indexes over 100 degrees. So the key will be to see as we begin the next week here is to see if that pattern is going to lock in or if it's just hopefully a one-time deal as far as the hot, dry conditions. But definitely not the best environment for pod set and pod fill for soybeans. And I think, as you said, the corn is more or less going along for the ride. It's not ideal for grain fill for corn, but we've passed pollination. now. So it's more of an issue for beans and for wheat. It's a very, very sensitive situation with regards to that escalating tension in the Black Sea at the moment, Andy.
And do we expect that could continue into the weekend? Is that part of what is happening with the higher move here on a Friday?
Yeah, I think we have to say that there's some risk on being assumed there in terms of both primarily the weather with regards to the U.S. crops, but also just the growing uncertainty, ongoing uncertainty, however you want to phrase it, regarding the geopolitical situation, specifically the Black Sea situation. So obviously we'll come in here on Sunday night and look at the latest forecast, Monday morning, of course, for next week. But those forecasts, Andy, will probably be looking into that last week of August now in terms of will this heat wave break or will it continue? And there's thoughts that it may break next weekend, but that'll be something the market looks at.
A little bit of a change in the weather, not to mention the Black Sea, but change in the weather has made for quite a different picture today versus a week ago.
It certainly has. We've seen that corn market break, Andy, all the way down to 475 for the December contract. That's the lowest price, Andy, I believe, since the fall of 2021 for that contract. So a 22-month low, I think it was. Wheat market had broke back for a two-year low. You have to go way back to 2021 again, way before the invasion took place. Beans had not broken those spring lows as of yet, but a much different picture, as you said, compared to a week ago. And I think it's quite a bit of short covering is taking place. We'll have to see if it's new buying when we look at the commitment of traders report later on, but we are seeing some daily sales announcements for export sales, but not a tremendous volume yet anyway.
Yeah, demand continues to be an issue.
It is an issue. That's the key word to use, is that I just completed a presentation and talked to a group of grain elevator managers and merchandisers and indicated that I believe we have the second lowest level of unshipped sales on the books, unshipped export sales of corn on the books at the moment, which means that buyers are not coming to the U.S. at the moment, instead getting their origin primarily from Brazil at the moment. And the beans isn't much better. It's either the second or third lowest of the last 15 years. So we are seeing some pickup, but a key thing I'd say for your listeners to watch, Andy, is China going to come in here and buy more U.S. beans? Or are they able to get most of what they need from Brazil at the moment?
And we'll find out maybe a little bit more about that next week with a big crop tour. But you have been on, we could call it a mini crop tour to the east and now headed back west. What are you seeing just anecdotally as far as crop conditions, at least from the road?
In general, my conversations that I had with our group of folks that we work with, Andy, is that the crops in the Eastern Corn Belt, when I say the Eastern Corn Belt, will include Indiana, of course, Michigan, and also your neighbors to the east in Ohio, that they're optimistic about crops. Obviously a ways to go from middle of August to the time the combines roll, and a lot can happen. But in general, they're optimistic. They were very pleased, of course, as your listeners know, with how the wheat crop turned out. And we're hoping that we can get somewhat similar results with corn and soybeans. But in general, we're looking at some positive crop condition ratings. And as we look ahead next week from the USDA, unchanged, maybe a point or two higher in good to excellent ratings. And now the following week may be quite different after the heat wave. But for this week, mild temperatures and some additional rain, especially here in the Eastern Corn Belt. So cautiously optimistic, as anyone knows, we still got a ways to go before harvest.
Brian Basting of Advanced Trading, economist there, and his number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, settlements, December corn, 493, a gain of 7.25, and March picks up 6.75, going to 506.5. September beans, 1362.75, up 26 cents. November, 1353.25, up 23.25. And strong wheat futures as well. September, 6.13.25, 23.75 up. The meat market's a higher day also. October live cattle, 178.82, up a half dollar. And October lean hogs, 82.12, up 2.97. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm radio network.